something else I want to share with you out of it. While you're turning there, I would mention you might pray for the Yonchmans. Their daughter was in a pretty severe car accident the other day. She's in the hospital. So pray for the Yonchman family, if you would. She's going to be okay, but is pretty broken up. And just remember to pray for them, if you would. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 down through 28 is where we're going. And what I wanted to show you this morning is the encouragement and discouragement in prayer. And you might say to yourself, well, Pastor, how can, you know, you're not going to talk to us about discouraging prayer. Well, sometimes prayer is discouraging. Sometimes we go to the Lord and we pray and it seems like we're praying and it's just kind of like bouncing off the ceiling. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want you to understand that even in the midst of those difficult times, those troubling times, those even confusing times, God is there. And we're going to see that, and I'm going to show you that. But it's important for us as Christians, because you know what? There's a tool that the devil uses called discouragement. And if he can use it against us effectively, he can really work us over. So we have to learn to be able to look past the devil's tool and to be able to see the encouragement or victory that lies within our faith. Amen? So we're going to go to that today and we're going to see that. But I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 15 and I'm going to read to you verses 21 down through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not set unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In this text, we find both discouraged prayer and encouraged prayer, and it's the same people. And so we find here that this is part of what takes place in our lives of faith. There are those times when we pray and it seems discouraging. It seems like God is not answering our prayer. And if we allow the devil to just keep working us and working us and working us. I want to take you to a text back in the book of Psalms. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 22 in your Old Testament. And I want to encourage you to, if you don't have a Bible with you, look at the Bible right on the back of the pew in front of you. There's one right in the book rack. Grab that. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 22. I think it's important for us to be able to see those verses. Caleb may pop them up on the screen as well. Psalm 22. And I want you to listen to the text that Christ quoted on the cross. When Christ hung on the cross, he quoted Psalm 22, verses 1 through 2. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. So here you find the psalmist saying, God, where are you? I pray to you. I cry out to you. Why hast thou forsaken me? Christ quoted that while he hung upon the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And of course, we know that Christ, as he hung on the cross, he bore all the sins of humanity. And the Bible says Christ, God turned, and even the skies turned black. There are times when we cry out to God. There are times when we call out to him. And in our heart, we begin to feel, my God, where art thou? We feel alone. We feel discouraged. And Satan takes that moment and he works us over and works us over. I want you to listen to another one in Psalm 88. This is a very powerful psalm. But it is a psalm of discouragement in the sense that you find this psalmist crying out to God. Now, most of the psalms are psalms of praise. But there come those hard times in our lives where we really begin to feel like maybe we're a bit disconnected. And we're going to get there. We're going to find the tool to overcome that. But listen to Psalm 88. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead. Let the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. There are times in our lives where we begin to feel like that, that we are in the deepest, darkest place. Middle of winter in Vermont, one of the most depressing times of the year. Doctors all across our state are very vigorously and busily writing scripts to try to get people through the dark days of winter in Vermont. People get discouraged. Even Christians get discouraged. And here you find this psalmist who is discouraged, and he is in a dark place, and he's crying out to the Lord. You go to the minor prophets. Habakkuk found himself in that same place when you look back in those minor in the minor prophets. And he cries out to God. And I'll just quote it to you, Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He starts to cry out to God, and he does the same thing. He says, God, where art thou? Can you hear my voice? Can you hear that I am here? For I am alone. And we can find ourselves there. And what do we do with that? Do we stay there? Do we choose to stay there? In the Gospels, you come to Peter. Peter standing outside the gate. And as Christ is going through this mock trial, it tells us that Peter's out there and he curses and denies Christ three times. And it says that when he did so, he walked away weeping. He was at the bottom. He was in that pit. But he didn't stay there. You see, that's the key. You can't go ahead and say, God, here am I, and I'm going to lay down and die. The nation of Israel was in captivity for 430 years in Egypt. 430 years. How many of you have lived 100? None of us in here. Mike Paterni's mom is 102, if you know Mike. I keep telling Mike, wow, you've got the gene pool of all gene pools. Mom lived 100, and she's still alive at 102. 430 years Israel was in captivity in Egypt. Now, don't you imagine throughout that 430 years, as they were slaves, as they were making bricks for the pharaohs, as they were working even to the dying day, don't you imagine they lifted their voices up to God? God, save us. Save us. Free us. We're your children. We're the promised people, the descendants of Abraham. And here we are in captivity. God, please. Generation after generation after generation. But we know God heard. And it may not have been for their generation or even their children or even their grandchildren. Maybe not even their great-grandchildren, but God heard and he knew. And 430 years later, he rose up a man. And that man within the house of the, within the family of Pharaoh. All of a sudden, you see this guy who was found in the river among the thrushes by the Pharaoh's daughter. They bring him in, they raise him up, give him the greatest education, the whole deal. Next thing you know, he turns. turns against all the wealth and the power, and he works to free God's people. God answered that prayer. But if we're not careful, we get stuck in the dark part and we forget that God does hear our prayer and he is working in that direction. Now, after they got out at 430 years, do you know what they found themselves in? 40 more years of the wilderness because of their sin. God told them, go take the promised land. You've been crying for it for hundreds of years. There it is. Just go right on out there. There's the promised land. And they said, oh, no. We can't do that. We're afraid. There's giants in that land. Now, the same God that just took them out of the kingdom of Egypt, there worried some giants in the pagan land, and they didn't go for 40 more years. That's their own fault, wasn't it? It's their own, lack of faith, their lack of vision, the lack of tapping into the power of God. Oftentimes, the reason we stay in the dark place, the long haul, is because we ourselves are not willing to get out. We don't go ahead and say, yes, Lord, let's get up and go. Yes, Lord, I know you are with me. Yes, Lord, I know you can. Yes, God, let's make it happen. Israel languished 430 years, then another 40 in the wilderness before they finally took what God offered to them. The Lord knows your needs before you ever even pray. Matthew chapter 6:8 says, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Now that's an amazing truth. Even when you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, God already knows what's in your heart. He hears those prayers you can't even utter. The scriptures teach us the Holy Spirit brings before him those things that lay upon our hearts that we ourselves cannot say. He knows. Even if you don't feel like he knows, he knows. It's up to us to understand and to believe and not let the devil continue to strong arm us. Sometimes it takes determined prayer. We need to go back. We need to go back. We need to go back and talk to the Lord. That's what this woman did. Turn back with me at Matthew chapter 15. If you remember when she came up to the Lord Jesus Christ and she's talking to him, it says that he did not answer her word. But come back with me to Matthew 15. Look down with me, if you would, at verse 25. It says, Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She came back. You know, if we're not careful, we believe the devil's lie and we just give up. We walk away. We don't continue to try. And here God is knocking at our door saying, hey, let me in. Let me in. And we're saying, don't want to hear you, Lord. I don't feel like you're really there. The other day I was at the house. My house sits on a ridgeline and the wind blows there almost all the time. And if I'm not careful, I hear people knocking at my door. Does that ever happen to you? You know, I'm sitting in the house and I'm telling you, I heard. And I got up, I thought, somebody's knocking at my door. So I went and I looked out, there's no car there. Went over, ran, you know, maybe you don't do this. I went around to the other door, opened that door, looking out into the wilderness. I'm glad I don't have any close neighbors that have thought I'd lost my mind. I'm looking. You know, who knocked on my door? But if I hear you knock at my door, I'm going to go and check it out. I'm not going to say, they'll go away. That's not going to happen at my house. I'm going to get up and I'm going to search and I'm going to look. When Jesus knocks at our heart's door, which he tells us in Revelation, he does. We are supposed to be the people who open the door and let him in. Even when you're not feeling the most welcoming, even when you're feeling the most discouraged, even when you're feeling the most distant, you still need to let him in that he might be a part of your life. You need to go back, just as this woman went back and she embraced the Lord. It says that she worshiped him and said, Lord, help me. Her heart was connected to the Lord. that determination of prayer, of him understanding and knowing that she truly loved him, believed in him, and was patiently looking to him. I want you to look with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verses 1 down through 7. Listen to this parable. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, it's interesting he says that to us. Why would he say to us, don't faint in your prayer? Don't give up in your prayer. Don't back down in your prayer. Why would he say that? Because he knows we are weak. And the more we become part of the culture and society we live around, we really want it our way right now. And that's how we treat God sometimes. I'm going to cha-ching the Lord, and he's going to go ahead and give me payback. And we treat him that way. And yet the text says, no, 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 you pray. And you don't faint. You don't give up. You don't fall back. You keep praying. You pray to the Lord. Listen to what he says here. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Now, it's God giving us this parable. We're not making this up. God is saying he is like that judge who this woman comes to and brings her case before him, and he's not going to listen to her right at that moment. So she comes back, and she comes back, and she comes back. And he says, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take care of this. We get phone calls all the time from missionaries who are trying to raise support. You know, we have missionaries all across the back that we support as a church on a monthly basis. And I get many phone calls, many phone calls. But every once in a while, there's a missionary who will call me consistently. And he'll wear me out. You know, I'll tell him the first time, well, right now we support about 40 missionaries. Our missions program is full. We try to keep a reserve to help our missionaries, etc. I give him the whole pitch. I'm very polite. I tell him, you know, we're not interested. Guy will call me back. You know, like 3 weeks later, well, Pastor, it was good to chat with you the other day. I just thought I'd call back, see if things have changed. Yep. No, that's only been a few weeks. Well, that's okay. Just, are you doing okay? Yeah, I'm doing fine. A month later, I'll do the same thing. 6 months later, I say, come and give your report. Come, present to the church. Let's see what happens. Because they will have worn me down to where I think that this is an aggressive person. He's working his job, man. He's getting it done. Amen? He's not just taking no for an answer and go about his way and saying, oh, I can't raise any money. He's working. And if there's anybody who impresses me, it's somebody who works. And I'm thinking, if he works this hard to get support, wait till he gets to the field. He'll light the place on fire, reaching people for Jesus. So they wear me down. And God in this text says to you and I, our prayer life, he says, pray, faint not. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep bringing it to me. It's not that God doesn't know. He does know. But he wants to hear from us. He wants to know we're sincere. He wants to know we mean business. He wants to know that we genuinely need him to intervene. Now, maybe it'll take 430 years. I don't know what you're praying for. It took Israel 430 years plus another 40 because kind of weak faith there. But you and I can't give up. We can't stay in the pit. We can't stay in the dark place. We got to reach out. God does hear, and he does know, and he does care. And he says, don't give up. Look with me, if you would, Luke chapter 11. I want you to see this verse with me as well. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 down through 5. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, so in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the model prayer that Christ gives to us. And in this model prayer, he shows to us the diligence and confidence that's built into prayer. Recognize and acknowledging who God is, and that he is the giver of the things that we need. Everything from the forgiveness of our sin to our daily bread. We have to go to him. So even if you feel discouraged in your prayer life, he doesn't say to us, well, okay, give up then. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. If any of you have ever raised teenagers, and you teenagers can close your ears right now, you have my permission. Normally you do it anyways, but now you have my permission. You and I that have raised teenagers, we know that sometimes it's hard to get them to talk. Isn't it hard sometimes? Brother Paul's substituting in the junior high classroom right now for a little while, and he told me, he says, today I got some of them to talk. It's kind of like big gain there. But some of us as parents, did you ever get them in the car, you think to yourself, I've got them in this confined space now, now's the time to make it happen, and you just start trying to get them to talk. Because you know that you need to talk about some things. But you don't give up the first time they kind of ignore you, or you'll never get anywhere. So you kind of maybe redirect it, you work it. Maybe you get them a smoothie at McDonald's, whatever it takes to bribe them to loosen up a little. And then finally you get them to start talking. That's your goal. But you had to work at it or you got nowhere. As a parent, you have to work at it. Well, you know what? God is literally saying that to us. He's saying in our prayer life, keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. He wants to hear from you. Even when you don't feel like he's listening, he wants to hear from you. As we come down in the scriptures, look back with me in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, look with me if you would, down to the last verse of the text I gave you this morning, verse 28. And here we find the outcome. And this is really what we're all looking for in our relationship with the Lord. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, you remember where this whole thing began? It began at verse 23, but he answered her not a word. So within those few verses, he goes from he answered her not a word to you are a woman of great faith. That's where we're headed. That's where we need to be headed. Even if it seems like the Lord is just not answering us a word, we want to continue to have the relationship with him. We want to continue to draw him out. He wants to see from us the sincerity of our hearts, that he might look at us and say, you are really of great faith. And then he says to her, as you desire, so will it be. And her daughter was healed. So in your life and in my life, we learn that God knows that there are those times where we are discouraged, where we might want to give up. But he says, faint not, don't give up. Just like the judge, keep coming back, keep coming back. Keep building on that. Keep intervening into the ear of God, because he does hear. And it's up to him when he answers, when he responds. It's up to you and I to be a grateful people, to understand that the true and living God, the all-creator God, cares enough to hear our prayers. It's not his job to always tickle our fancy, to make us feel the warm and fuzzies. That's not always life. That's not always the relationship. But we know that he hears. We know that he cares. We know that he is there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So I took us back to this text because it's really important to me as your pastor, for you to understand that God is not, you know, he's not a machine you throw a quarter in and you pull a lever and you go ahead and get the Nutri-Grain bar. Did you notice the shift from the junk food to the Nutri-Grain bar? I wanted you to catch that. It's not that God is a lever that gives to us exactly what we want immediately. That's not God. He lets us know that he's expecting us to have a consistent, persistent prayer life. A relationship. If any of you have been married for any time, you know that not always does your spouse hear you when you think they should. Now, my wife calls that selective hearing. I simply call it, she's ignoring me. You know, she's a little kinder than I am. But those things happen in our lives, don't we? There's times she'll say to me, "Well, Tim, I told you that." And I'll say, "You never told me that." No, listen. We were right here. We did this. And I told you. And I'll say, "Yes, I was here, and yes, I remember this, but you never told me." And then finally I'll say to her, it's okay. And she'll know that I'm going to accept whatever. You know, it's okay. If I heard you and I ignored it, I'm sorry. Whatever. But I acknowledge that there are times I don't hear what I should hear. That happens. Maybe that's never happened in your marriage. It's never happened? No. But the reality is, I don't want her to give up. And I'm not going to give up either. You know, I'm going to continue to communicate with Sandra Jo until the day we die. Because I know that's the only thing that's going to keep us friends. Amen? And I hope she never gives up. Even though sometimes I don't hear her. You don't give up. Well, God, our Heavenly Father, sometimes it seems like he's not listening, but he is. And he says to us, "Keep coming back. Keep coming back. I'm there. I know. I hear. But I want you to keep coming back." And in his time and according to his will, he will answer our prayer. But he expects us to keep coming back. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of our service. As we come to the end of the service, I ask you to look into your heart. And where are you in your walk with God? Have you given up because, oh, you just haven't had the warm and fuzzies lately about it all? So you've kind of just given up. God says, "Faint not. Faint not." You and I, we develop and foster and embrace the relationships that matter to us. And that's what God is saying to us about our relationship with him. this morning as your head is bowed, maybe today you need to just renew your commitment to walk with Him. Whether on the mountaintop or in the valley, you're going to walk with your Lord. Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation time, Lord, we thank You that You hear our prayers. We thank You that You care. We thank You that You promise that when we pray according to Your will, You will answer those prayers. Lord, help us to be consistent. Help us not to give up. Help us not to grow weary or to faint, but to keep coming back. For that's what You've called us to do. We thank You, Lord. We pray that You would be with us this morning, that we might each make commitments to You to not let the devil leverage us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all